So what is it that makes us good before God? Our good works, good deeds, our self-righteousness, or is it something alien to us? Questions like that are answered by the Apostle Paul here in Romans chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. That's where we catch up with Pastor Chris Gordon here today on Abounding Grace Radio as we look at a message called Too Good to Be True. We begin with a look at Abraham. Father Abraham wasn't the best guy on the block, but he was declared righteous anyway. We'll find out why. And at the close of the program, information about our upcoming Ligonier Conference in Escondido, May 13th and 14th. I'll tell you all about it in just a few minutes. Right now, here's Pastor Chris with today's program.
I say this respectfully. I don't know if I could say this respectfully, but he was a bum. Father Abraham dumped off his wife twice. Father Abraham went into another woman to try to achieve the promise. Father Abraham dumped off land and seed, the two basic aspects of the Abrahamic promise. Threw it away. Abraham was not a flattering figure. That's hard for us, isn't it? And that's what Paul's saying. If Abraham had something to boast about, he could do it, but not before God, because God is really honest about human nature. God has no confidence in the Adamic nature, if you will. And so Paul then moves on, and Paul goes on, well, oh, okay, what about David? And this is a 1-2 punch. Because now, what Jew could disagree about the great King David? And Paul, in the middle of this, puts down Psalm 32 that we considered this morning. And so if someone wants to say, well, David had a faith that was inherently virtuous enough to please God, do you think Uriah agreed with that? So I want you to think of the moment. Paul takes David's great psalm, puts it right here in Romans 4 to make the very same point that what David understood about God's blessedness upon him was that his forgiveness was rooted in the one-time declaration that the righteousness of Jesus Christ was imputed to him when he believed. And he got to enjoy that blessedness of a forgiven life. And Paul is saying that's what Abraham understood. This is what David understood. They have the exact same testimony. The testimony is not different. Summarize for us in verse 6 tonight. David describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness. That's what's imputed apart from works. That's the heart of what he's developing. But you see, Paul knew that there was one last hurdle to deal with. And there's one last hurdle that he has to deal with to make very clear the doctrine of justification by faith alone. And that's why I said tonight, preaching this is a bit of a challenge in 2012, because maybe we don't connect with this the way that we should. But it's the issue of circumcision. This has always been a kind of problem, though, among the people of God. We are prone to take that which is meant to strengthen faith, that which is meant to confirm God's promises and to encourage us and assure us, and we are prone to take that and turn that back into a way of our trying to please God. That's essentially what's going on here and what Paul's dealing with. And Paul knew that the issue of circumcision would be a huge hindrance to the propagating and the dispersing of the gospel to the ends of the earth. And so we can imagine a Jew hearing this, and we can imagine a Gentile hearing this doctrine of justification for the first time. At least they shouldn't have heard it for the first time. They should have known it, like Abraham and David. But here, many Gentiles are hearing this for the first time. And what's the question they're asking? The question they're asking is, well, didn't God give circumcision to Abraham? Wasn't that a way of justification before God? You knew the Jews were running around saying this. And through the act of circumcision, did he not please God and gain his favor? That was his entrance into the covenant. And that secured that kind of blessing. You know, haven't you forgot that Abraham was the father of the circumcised Paul? You taking that into consideration? What is the value of circumcision then in your doctrine? What purpose can that even have? It's meaningless if you're going to teach grace that way. Paul's reacting to this, and he knows they don't even understand circumcision. And so he asks the question. Basically, in verse 9, if you give this much credence to circumcision, let me ask you, when was Abraham justified? That's the single great question he's answering for you tonight. That may seem simple, but that is a death blow to their view. Look at verse 9. Does this blessedness come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? Does this blessedness that we've been describing, a free justification by grace through faith alone, totally and completely declared righteous in the presence of God that Abraham and David received, does justification come only upon those who receive circumcision, the sign of the covenant? Or does it come upon the uncircumcised? You know, I've tried to capture what the Jews believed about this. Here's another one, just to set it again. Everyone, this is the Jewish book of Jubilees. Everyone that is born, the flesh of whose foreskin is not circumcised on the eighth day, belongs not to the children of the covenant, which the Lord made with Abraham, for he belongs to the children of destruction. Nor is there, moreover, any sign of him that he is the Lord's, but that he is destined to be destroyed and slain from the earth. Now, how in the world is the gospel going out with that? You see? How could you ever announce a gospel if that's the view? So, eternal security for the Jew was circumcision. That is eternal security. They had a doctrine of eternal security. It was the act of circumcision. In the book of Moses, one of the rabbis wrote, "Our rabbis have said, no circumcised man will see hell." Circumcision guaranteed the access. This was such a problem, to show you how deep the problem was. You have the very first church council dealing with one major issue. And what was it in Acts 15? "And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren," now listen to this, "unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you are cast out of Israel. You cannot be Israelites. You cannot be saved." Now, do you get a sense of the importance if you're a Gentile living in the first century of Romans 4? And how important this is for the Jews? Does this blessing come upon only the circumcised? This would have been just a huge question and moment for those hearing. What is Paul asking? Does this blessing of justification come only for those who get the sacrament? Paul says, "We say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised." So Paul is saying something very clear tonight. This took place way before. Don't you know your history? God comes to Abram, and he makes this great promise, and he calls him out of Ur of the Chaldeans, and he says, "Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward, your shield. And in you, Abraham, all the Gentiles of the earth are going to be blessed." It was always meant to be that. "In you, you're going to be the father of many Gentiles and many nations. And I want you to look up at all these stars, Abraham. Try to count them. And I want you to look at the sand of the sea. Count it. If you're able." And the next thing you read is, "Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And Paul wants you to know there is a moment of justification. Oh, there is a moment when your status changes and you are legally declared righteous and there's no going back. Beautiful. When you believe the gospel promise and you turn from yourself and look to Christ, you are declared righteous right then and there. And Paul is saying, that's Genesis 15. That's what happened in Genesis 15. And then Abraham falls in a sleep and God does some serious cutting of the covenant all alone to make the point he will fulfill all righteousness. So here we are. And this was the beauty of the Christian gospel, like this morning when Jesus was going around and he was preaching and he could look at a paralytic and declare right when he looked at his faith, son, your sins are forgiven. You're justified. That man who beat his chest went down to his house justified. Now, Paul's posing the question for the Jews and the Gentiles. Well, when did this happen? Well, is this blessedness only for the circumcised, or can you Gentiles have this blessing too? Can you have the very same blessedness that David and Abraham enjoyed? Can you live in that blessedness? So you see the importance. On the one hand, the Jews feel that they have acceptance with God because of circumcision. On the other hand, the Gentiles feel they are excluded from God because of circumcision. And Paul is saying, no, no, no. Look at Abraham. He's the prototype. He's the prototype of faith alone, in Christ alone, having the righteousness imputed to him, received by grace alone. Look at him. Well, when was he circumcised? Well, dear Jews, if you studied your history, you would know that that happened in Genesis 17, and that was 14 years later. 14 years later, God comes and establishes this covenant of circumcision with Abraham, telling him to keep his covenant, he and his household, and to be circumcised, including all of his 8-day-old children, every male. Amazing moment. He's looking at the Gentiles and says, do you see this? It's just as much for you as it is for them. It was God's plan to include you, and you see it through Father Abraham. Believe. Abraham's faith that received the righteousness of Christ was accounted to him while he was uncircumcised. And you say, Pastor, this is 2012. Why are you talking about circumcision? We've heard this. We know this. Do we? Circumcision maybe feels to us like a barbaric ancient custom. And maybe uncomfortable even to preach in a service today. It's just uncomfortable. Is that helpful? Two reasons. The first reason tonight, God wants all of you to look at Abraham as an example of true faith. As a spiritual father, yes, showing us the great truth of how a sinner is right with God. Look at him. God gives us many examples in the scripture of people who are very messed up and who demonstrate simple gospel trust in the promise. That's the first thing. There's another reason tonight. God loves you so much. He knows you struggle with assurance. And yes, we're all called to live by faith in his wondrous word. But you know what I struggle with? I want a little bit more. I want to see more. I want a little more glory. I want to feel it and experience it just like you. It's a problem. God knew this would be a problem. And so he says, I want you to look what I did for Abraham. I added something to my word, a promise that he believed and was justified. I gave a confirmation. I gave a sign and a seal. And Paul says that in verse 11. Why was circumcision there? Paul says it was Abraham received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. Paul says God did something for Abraham. When Abraham believed the gospel promises and he received after the sign of circumcision, it became a sign, it became a seal that he could see tangibly, that he could understand when it was given and that his people received it, that he was right with God. That in Christ, all of our sins are cut away. That's the imagery. That's what circumcision outwardly signified. Yeah, it was bloody. The cross was bloody. It was awful. But something had to be cut out of the heart, didn't it? And I can't see that often. And the Lord wanted Abraham to know he had done that as he embraced the promises by faith. It was a sign and a seal of the righteousness that comes by faith alone. That's it. You know, baptism's the same thing for you. It's a sign and a seal to encourage you tonight, boys and girls, to encourage you. That sign's been put on you. Of God's gospel love. And that the Holy Spirit, when we believe these promises, has cleansed our hearts. And he knows that we struggle, and he wants us to understand that. It was Calvin who used to say, when your conscience is troubled, or when you're reminded of your many faults, you need to remind yourself of your baptism. Now, let me make us a little nervous. But we know what Calvin's saying, don't we? Calvin is saying this, that from it we may be confirmed in assurance of that perpetual cleansing that we have received from Christ's blood. Martin Luther would, when he struggled with sin and questions about his faith, you know what he would write on the board? I am baptized. I'd give you the Latin, but I'll butcher it. His hope wasn't in baptism. But it was in what the sign pointed to. Now, this should be of immense encouragement to us tonight. The reason Paul spends so much time on this is because of what people do to the sacraments. What do they do to the sacraments? What are meant to confirm and to strengthen, they try to turn them into a means of trying to please God with and earn a right standing with. And that's what he's reacting against. The Jews are running around saying, well, we are of the circumcision, and these guys are going to hell because they don't have the circumcision. There's a big movement back to Rome today. And I think we need to again teach on just what Rome taught. I'm going to close with this here. The Council of Trent declared this. This was the Roman Catholic Council. If anyone denies that by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is conferred in baptism, the guilt of original sin is remitted, or even asserts that the whole of that which has the true and proper nature of sin is not taken away, this is through baptism, let him be anathema. Get that? Trent said very clearly, if you don't believe that the act of baptism takes away your sin, original sin, you are eternally condemned if you say differently. This is serious, isn't it? And that's incredibly sad. I'm sad that Romans 4 has to be here, to be honest with you. I'm sad that Paul would have to say all this to clear away what was meant to be the greatest blessing to us and encouragement to us. As Paul is saying, all these people are beginning to trust in these things. Paul is saying, dear Jews and Gentiles, to you tonight, I close with this. God set it up that Abraham would receive a sign and a seal way after his justification so that the message would be very clear to you Gentiles tonight. Way later, for you tonight. That it was always God's purpose to make Abraham the father of many nations who would believe being uncircumcised. So that tonight you would know that the same promise that he believed by faith, that he trusted in the Lord, that same righteousness that was imputed to him is imputed to you. That's our gospel. That's all you need. And God confirms and assures you through sacraments. So do you see that any more clear tonight than on the cross? Here's Jesus. Here's two men. One is a blasphemer. The other has his hands tied behind his back, you know, or pinned up. He can't move. He hasn't done one single work. Probably hadn't been circumcised. Probably Gentile. And he's nailed to the wood. And he looks at Jesus with a believing heart. And crying, he says, Lord, remember me when you enter. And at the last moment of his life, for the last breath he takes, after an entire life of rebellion, not one single work, Jesus justifies him. What an overwhelming account to encourage you tonight. When anyone believes what was said of Zacchaeus by our Lord is true of you today, today salvation has come to this house, since he is a son of Abraham. And that's what we are by grace through faith. That is the gospel, and I pray that we treasure it all the days of our life and go forward in its strength. The Lord wants you to know that. What a blessed day to be in his house, isn't it? To worship him, to hear about his forgiveness, and to know that you stand absolved, all who believe and trust in his Son. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we are so grateful for your gospel. And we confess that Father Abraham and David, just like them, we have sinned greatly against you. And our only claim is the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness, which we receive by faith alone. Thank you that you care to even give us visible words to confirm and assure us of your love. But may our faith solely and always be in the person and the work of our Savior. And if there's any here tonight who do not believe, convict them greatly of their need, that they too would enjoy this blessedness that comes upon all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen.
And you're listening to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, who will be back in just a moment with some exciting news about an upcoming conference that we would love for you to be a part of. First, let me leave you with our website and our phone number in case you would like to reach out to us. This is a listener-supported program, and we are greatly encouraged when you come alongside of us financially and prayerfully to ensure that this broadcast continues not only here where you're listening, but elsewhere throughout the country. Our web address is agradio.org. Now, that's a great place to go if you would like links to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram accounts. Also, a marvelous repository of past programs can be found, again, there at agradio.org. Or leave us a question or prayer request at questions@agradio.org. You can also reach us by phone, 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Now, there is a banner on our website, agradio.org, and it's all about an upcoming conference in May. And we're really excited to have you be a part of it. Chris, this is going to be an amazing conference, isn't it?
This will be a really enjoyable conference. I don't know if any of the listeners, I'm sure you're familiar with Ligonier Ministries. That was where R.C. Sproul was a great influence for years and a teaching place for him. One of their regional conferences they're going to host here in Escondido, and the speakers will be W. Robert Godfrey, Burke Parsons, Derek Thomas, and then I will be able to give a session too. So that'll be on May 13 and 14. So that's coming up. The title is If the Foundations Are Destroyed. And that's kind of based in Psalm 11. The talks here will be a wonderful help to those who come. Derek Thomas will be delivering one titled The Lord is Our Refuge. Dr. Godfrey will be speaking on When the Foundations Are Destroyed.
looking at that from Psalm 11. So we want to encourage you, if you'd like to come to the conference, again, that's May 13 and 14, sign up at www.agradio.org. And there is a banner there that's posted on the website, link you right to Ligonier Ministries to sign up for the conference. So do please make use of that on our website at agradio.org.
And again, we look forward to seeing you there. Thank you for spending time with us today. Until next time, may God bless you as you seek His abounding grace. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.